Welcome back to another episode of Real Talk with Des. I know I've left you guys hanging for a while. Crazy things happened, emotions happened, life got away from me, and I kind of decided I wasn't going to record anymore, but I have been asked to continue, at least finish my pregnancy story, so here I am. I don't know why I'm recording it now. I just got done cleaning my office and I just decided I was gonna record, so here we are. I left off with telling you guys that I was driving Braxton to the airport so he could go to Alaska for his bear hunt for the 3 weeks, and we were talking about him starting to make it to appointments. Mind you, he was in Alaska. I had an appointment while he was in Alaska. So when he is in Alaska or Canada hunting, most of the time he does not have service and he has to call from like a satellite phone, so we don't really hear from him. He'll check in every now and then, but like it's not like I can text him and be like, hey, you need to call me. So anyways, I go to that appointment and he knew my appointment was that day, so he called me that evening. And I told him how my appointment went. Everything was pretty good. I don't know why they didn't seem this as a red flag, but they had trouble finding her heartbeat. And to me, I was like, okay, well, you know, that's kind of weird. Why aren't we like looking into this? And they kept getting lower and lower and eventually found her heartbeat like down pretty much like she was in, not breech, but delivery placement. And that day, like, when I would sit down, like, I would have, like, pain, and I told them that, and they're like, oh, you're fine, you know, just things are gonna be happening, you know, now that you're in the 20 weeks, or, yeah, in the 20-week stage, so, you know, things are gonna be moving, she's gonna be moving around more, and you're gonna start feeling her and whatnot, and I'm like, okay, whatever, like, you guys are the doctors, you know what you're talking about, I guess. So, they find her heartbeat's good, it's stable. People are gonna come at me, whatever, say it's not right, it's not true, everybody's been getting the flu shot as long as they're pregnant, but in North Dakota, and I don't know if it was just the nurse that I had or if it was their protocol, because I asked my friend who also had a baby, because we were pregnant at the same time, if she was forced to get her flu shot, and she does not remember. She doesn't think she was. But the doctor, I remember her saying, because you work at a daycare, we're requiring you to get the flu shot. And I was like, I've never gotten the flu shot. Like, I don't want the flu shot. And they're like, well, we can't let you leave today without getting it. I didn't remember getting one with Peyton, so I just was like, okay, whatever, like, if you're not gonna let me leave, I guess. So I got the flu shot. Drove my hour and a half back to our home, like, where we were living, went to a work meeting, and I was, like, sitting out there on the, like, floor, because I was a little bit late, so there was no more seats, so I was sitting in the doorway with one of the other girls, and I just had to sit in a weird position, because, like, everything hurt pretty much, and I'm like, okay, this is feeling weird, but the doctor said everything was fine, so it's fine. That was Wednesday. That Saturday, I had gotten in the bathtub, and I remembered I was like, I needed to go to the bathroom, so I got out of the bathtub, let it drain, and went to the bathroom, and there was like a plum purple, I wouldn't say like discharge, but like when I wiped, there was a plum purple look to it. I was like, okay, well, that's weird. But again, with Peyton, I never lost my mucus plug. I never like went into full labor because I was induced. So I didn't know all the signs. So Braxton had called me that night and I just kind of told him I was in pain. I was going to try to, you know, get through Sunday and go to the doctor on Monday. Well, he was supposed to be flying home that Sunday. Well, I went to bed and in the middle of the night woke up to spotting. And Braxton at this time was off the mountain. He was at the hotel room. So I had texted him. I said, hey, I'm bleeding. I'm headed to the ER. the one that was a little bit closer to home. It was still an hour drive, but it was a little bit closer than driving the hour and a half to my original. So I went there, and this is where shit got crazy. I walked in and I said, hey, I'm 19 weeks along. I started spotting. I had like a plum purple when I wiped earlier tonight, and it's only happened once, but then I started spotting. And they're like, oh, okay, well, let's check you out. They took me back. A doctor came in, checked heartbeat. Everything was fine. Checked me to see if I was dilated. Told me I wasn't dilated. Took me back to ultrasound to make sure, you know, baby was in a good position, everything. They never said anything about her, like, being too low or anything. They just said, you know, things like, okay. And I got left. Left. This is 3 o'clock in the morning. They left me in the ultrasound room. Like, the tech light came in. He was pissed that he was being a, I'm gonna say it, dick the whole entire time he was doing my ultrasound. Then looked at me and was like, okay, they're gonna do your results. I probably sat in there for a good 45 minutes until my nurse came and was like, I've been looking for you. And I was like, well, I've been sitting here. Like, for one, I didn't have a gown or anything because they had me undress, gave me like a blanket, and then my gown and all that was out in the hallway in the they had me sit in like the wheelchair. And I'm like, so for one, I don't have a gown to put on. Like, I'm just laying here with a blanket. So she brings me in the gown, I put it back on, and we go back to the room, and the doctor comes back in and was like, everything looks fine, but just so you know, nature sometimes takes its course. Well, I'm dumb and tired because it's now like 4 o'clock in the morning and I'm processing this. And at that time I didn't know what he meant. And I'm like, oh, okay. So everything looks good. And he goes, yeah, nature just takes its course sometimes. Okay. Without like explaining anymore or maybe explaining like what could happen. He just says, if you need anything, go see your original OB on Monday. Okay, well, I leave. The sun is rising because it is now early in the morning. I'm driving back home, texting Braxton because, you know, he's in Alaska. His dad's asleep in the room with him. So we're sitting here texting and I'm trying to tell him. And on my way home, I had never seen the Northern Lights before, but you can, in certain parts of North Dakota, get a glimpse of them. And I'm just staring out the window at like these small green Northern Lights, you know, and I just start crying and I'm like, oh my gosh, like everything's gonna be fine. Braxton's gonna be home tomorrow night. Like, we're gonna come pick him up from the airport. Like, everything was gonna be great. Well, me and Peyton get home because I dropped her off at a friend's house. She luckily answered her phone. I was freaking out, but she answered her phone and was like, yeah, please bring her by. And picked Peyton up. We got home, we went back to bed, and I just had her go in my bed with me. Well, it was about 10:30 Sunday morning. I wake up and my water never broke with pain, so I didn't know. I woke up and there was a gush of water and I just thought pregnant people pee their pants, right? I just thought I had peed my pants. I'm like, okay, that's weird. Like, changed, got showered up, went back to sleep because I was still tired. Peyton was still sleeping. And I was laying in bed and more water came out. But this time, like, I knew I wasn't peeing because it didn't have like that pee fill this time. And I called another friend and I said, you need to come and drive me to the ER. I need to go to the hospital. Well, she had told me I needed to call my OB, not just go to the hospital, needed to call my OB because of the situation that happened at that night. So I called him and he goes, your water broke, you need to get here now. So I called Braxton praying that he would answer because I knew they were at the airport, but instead of Braxton flying from Alaska to North Dakota, he was flying from Alaska back to Utah with his dad and then a couple of days later was coming back to North Dakota. He was going to come home, get all of his stuff that he had brought down, and fly back up to North Dakota. I think it was that next Wednesday or some other day. And I called praying that he would answer, and he answers the phone and I'm just crying in pain because at this point, you know, my back hurt, everything hurt, and just told him that my water had broke and I was on my way to the hospital. And next thing I knew, I was being told that he was going to be home as soon as he could. His dad was changing his flights from going to Utah to North Dakota, that our roommates would pick him up and get him to the hospital. Like, he would be home as soon as he could. Well, I had dropped Peyton off at the friend who was driving me. Her husband and sisters said that they would help take care of her while Kelsey got me to the hospital, got me situated, and Braxton got there. And then, you know, so I wasn't alone for anything happening. And then she would go home and take care of Peyton. So I'd gotten the call that Braxton was going to land about 9 o'clock in Williston. But mind you, Williston was 3 hours away. He still had to go home and pick up the stuff that I needed, because at this point I got told that I was going to be in the hospital until I delivered. So I needed him to pick me up stuff at home, because I went with hardly anything, and, you know, pick up my car so he could drive there. So we're sitting there, you know, the doctors have me on the monitor, everything's going good. Heartbeat never dropped. Her heartbeat stayed the same. We heard it the whole entire time. And I just kept saying how I wished, you know, that Peyton or Braxton were with me. And next thing I know, Peyton, you know, is walking in the door. My friend's husband was so nice and generous, drove her 1.5 hours to come and sit with me. And then it was getting late, so I told them that they could actually go home together. So they didn't have to stay, because she had to work the next morning, and everything, that they could just go home, get Peyton situated, and Braxton would be there anytime I was going to try to get some sleep at this point, because, you know, nothing was really happening. So Braxton comes in, I think it was about midnight he got to the hospital. I don't know, a lot of people probably don't know this, when they go on these hunting trips, you're out in the mountains with no shower, no, like, bathroom. Like, you're pretty much mountain manning it out there. You're eating dried food that you just add water to. I mean, you're living off the mountain. You're living in tents. Like, you're not, like, staying in this little cabin and coming back and showering every night, right? So, Braxton comes in to my hospital room in his full hunting gear, smelling like bear, because he was bear hunting. And my nurse goes, "Do you want clothes?" And he goes, "Nope, I'm fine." And he slept in his hunting clothes, woke up the next morning, and he kept telling me, "As soon as the doctor comes in and, like, talks to us, I'm gonna, you know, run home, shower, whatnot, and, like, to given what he says, depending, I'll come back, or, you know, get Peyton situated, get her home, and, you know, go back to work." And I said, "Okay, like, that's fine." And he goes, "I'm only a phone call away." And I said, "Like, I understand, like, you've been away from work for the last 3 weeks hunting. Like, I totally get you can't just sit in this hospital with me. Plus, he's such a busybody. I wouldn't want him to anyways." So we're sitting there, and I keep asking the nurses when they come in, I'm like, "Hey, like, when's my doctor coming in?" And they're like, "Oh, he should be here anytime, anytime." And I'm like, "Okay, well, the day starts going on. He sends the ultrasound tech in to check my water to see if I'm building up water, because at this point I'm on IVs, drinking a whole crap of water. Like, they were just trying to get my water to build back up. So they send an ultrasound tech in. And besides the ultrasound where I found out how far along I was, this was, like, the only ultrasound I had ever gotten, and the first ultrasound Braxton had ever seen in his life. But because of having no water, it was really hard to see, like, baby. Like, they were able to measure her and whatnot, but, like, it was really hard to, like, picture her or get, like, any good pictures to actually, like, print out and save, because I did ask for some, but they couldn't because they weren't really good quality, they kept telling me. And they just kept saying, because I asked them if they could tell us what we were having then, since they were ultrasounding. And they told me no, that this wasn't the ultrasound stuff they used to tell us what we're having. I mean, North Dakota is way different than Utah. If you're listening from Utah, you know how we get ultrasound appointments ultrasounds at every appointment. Not there. You get it at 20 weeks and that's it. So he comes in finally and just says, "You know, everything's still looking good. Your water's not building up, but if we can get you to 24 weeks and deliver, you know, things won't be as bad and there's more of a likelihood of baby making it. There could be complications, but, you know, at 24 weeks, there's definitely more we can do than if you had, you know, baby now. At this point, we didn't know what we were having. So with that, he just says, I'm going to keep you here, you know, until I feel like you're good to go home. So I just looked at Braxton and I said, there's no point in you staying here. Like, you know, get home, get Peyton back home, get her situated, because this was the first time Braxton was ever going to have to take care of Peyton more than a couple of hours with me being gone to like an appointment or just out to a girl's night. This was like the first time he was going to actually like have to, you know, bath her, get her to bed, get her up in the morning, everything. So, I mean, yes, I was nervous. He was nervous, but FaceTime was like our best friend. We FaceTimed for pretty much everything, you know, for the bath times, good night times. It worked out. Like, it was great. He did amazing. I was really actually proud. So I sit in the hospital from Sunday, and then Friday or Thursday, my doctor comes in and says, hey, I'm going out of town for the weekend. So-and-so is going to be, you know, the covering doctor for me. And I'm like, okay, cool, whatever, you know, dealt with him a couple of times when my doctor was out, so I knew him. He comes in Friday morning and says, I'm going to let you go. There's no point. Like, I am not doing anything for you here. There's no point in you being here. Everything has been good all week. Like, we're letting you go home. You have to go home on bed rest. You can't return back to work. You can't do housework. Like, you have to be on bed rest. And I'm like, okay. So Braxton was out of service. I couldn't call him and let him know. So I just did sent him a text and I said, hey, when you get this, just know I'm, you know, coming home. My friend came and picked me up with Peyton. We got home, got situated that Friday. Saturday, Braxton had off, so we all just kind of spent the day together. And Saturday night, we were watching a movie, and I was just kind of feeling off, like, Saturday. But I just didn't know if it was because I was in a hospital all week, but, you know, I started having back pain, and I'm, like, not thinking anything of it. Like, my water broke, not thinking I'm in labor. Because they had told me everything looked good and my cervix had not dilated. So I'm like, that's good signs. I'm just not building any water back up. So we go to bed that night. And in the middle of the night, I felt like this weird gush feeling. I'm like, that's weird. So I got up to go to the bathroom. And here's where I'm going to give probably too much details. So if you can't handle blood or talking about certain things, you might want to stop listening. Because I feel like the details, I mean, aren't going to help anybody, but I need to talk about them. So I go in and I go to the bathroom and all of a sudden I like feel something weird as I'm wiping and I'm like, what the heck? And all of a sudden baby comes out and I'm sitting here in my head, like she's in the toilet at this point, and I'm sitting here in my head, like mom brain, like, oh my gosh, she hasn't had enough water, you know, maybe I should leave her there. But then I'm like, no, like, I don't want her to drown. So I like hurry and grab her out of the toilet and I start yelling for Braxton. And he comes and opens the door. Okay, it's 3:30 in the morning. He comes flying in because I just kept yelling Braxton, Braxton. And then he opened the door and I said, I just had the baby. Well, when Braxton wakes up, he can't process things. Like, when he wakes up anytime, it takes him a while to like be in function mode. Like he has his certain routines he has to do and just things to wake himself up, right? And so he's like, what do I need to do? And I said, you need to call 911. He goes, what about your doctor? I said, no, you need to call 911. We need an ambulance. And he's like, okay. So he grabs his phone. For some reason, he couldn't like unlock his phone. So he went and got mine. And I don't know how or why, but he was able to unlock my phone, but he couldn't unlock his phone. And I'm like, okay, whatever. He called 911. He had said, hey, you know, my girlfriend just had a baby. They're asking all the questions. They're asking how old I am. He says 24. They asked how far along I was. He said 20 weeks because I had just turned 20 weeks that day. Okay, this is where shit's gonna start getting frustrated, especially if there's like nurses or any type of hospital people listening. The EMTs show up to my house. For one, we lived in a newer area, but I feel like if you're going to be an EMT and drive an ambulance around and go to emergencies and there's new subdivisions built, you need to familiarize yourself with addresses or use GPS or some shit. Because in our situation, it wasn't too bad. But at this point, I had gone into shock and they had had Braxton help me get on the floor. And then I had him get me a towel to wrap baby up in. She's blowing bubbles, so I know she's still alive and everything. I'm just sitting there, you know, rubbing her back as he's, you know, I'm given the address of where we live. And they're saying, we don't know where that is. We need you to help us. And Braxton's like, how do I help you? Like, we both felt the same that your emergency, you should know where to go. Like, if I call you and tell you this address, you should know how to get there. Well, they didn't know how, so he had to explain. And then they're like, we need you to come outside so we know which house is yours. We had explained the trucks that are parked outside. Like, we lived in a townhome, so there was only two doors connected. We had told them what trucks were parked outside, everything. But they still couldn't figure it out. They turned down the wrong street, so Braxton's, like, out in the middle of the road, you know, flagging them down. We lived on the upstairs level, so they come upstairs into my bathroom and they're like, oh, the baby's a lot smaller. And I'm like, what do you mean? And they're like, well, we thought it was 24 weeks. And I said, no, I'm 24 and I'm 20 weeks along. Well, then they go, we don't have an OB kit. This is where my language is gonna start going bad. What the fuck? You're an ambulance and you don't have an OB kit? When we called and said there was a baby delivered, you didn't think to grab an OB kit? Like, are you kidding me? But whatever. So then they told Braxton, we need scissors and, you know, a shoelace, something. And I'm like, well, I don't think we have any shoes that have laces. Like, I don't even think we have string. Like, it's not like my house now where I have a whole craft room full of shit, pretty much. Like, we were living in a townhome with roommates. We had, you know, limited space of stuff, especially when we first moved from a trailer. Like, we didn't have a lot of space to keep this type of stuff. So, Braxton looks down at his shoes. Mind you, these shoes he had in high school. And he goes, well, will this shoelace work? And they're like, yeah, that will work. Well, I'm thinking to myself, do you guys know where these shoes have been? Like, I don't even know where these shoes have been. And they're like, what about some kitchen scissors or something? And I'm like, well, I don't know when the last time those were used or what they were used for. Like, I mean, when you cut meats, you wash them. But, like, for small stuff, like, you just put them back, right? Well, he was like, okay. So, not, like, they didn't even have scissors on them. Like, they showed up in their street clothes. Utah is completely different. Like, they have those cargo pants that's got the pockets in them. They've got their scissors in them. Like, North Dakota's not like that, guys. At least not back when we lived there. So, they tie the shoelace to the umbilical cord, they cut it, wrap baby in a whole bunch of warm blankets, and they tell one of the, because I had two girl EMTs, and then the driver was a dude. She told the girl to take baby out to the ambulance and crank up the heat, and then they were going to get me there. Then they look at me and say, can you walk down the stairs? And this is where Braxton stepped in and was like, the fuck you're making her walk? Sorry, I told you my language is going to start going bad. But no, she's not walking down the stairs. Like, I will carry her down the stairs before you guys make her walk down the stairs. For one, she's losing blood. She had just had a baby. She is in shock. And you guys are wanting her to walk down the stairs? That was another thing that, like, was like, okay. And he goes, well, we have that lift chair. We can just bring up the stairs. And I'm like, why aren't you doing that? Like, hello? So they bring the chair in. They put me in it. We go outside. I am in a t-shirt, sweats, no socks, no shoes, no hoodie. It is October 25th in North Dakota. It's pretty cold at that point. And so then they're like, well, we need you to step down. And if I remember right, it was either snowing or raining. I can't remember, but I remember the ground was wet. And I'm like, you want, instead of putting the chair in the ambulance at the back where you'd normally put a person in, you're wanting me to get on the wet ground and step into the ambulance and then lay on the bed. Like, really? They're like, yeah. And I'm like, whatever. Get in there. And this is another thing. Utah lets the spouse ride in the back of the ambulance with you. No. They looked at Braxton and was like, you can't ride with her. You have to ride in the cop car. Well, they, instead of letting him ride, like, in the front seat, they put him in the back of the cop car. They're following us. The EMT's still holding baby. The one in EMT is just, you know, trying to have a conversation with me. Like, you know, we're on our way to the hospital, just trying to not make light of the situation, but, like, just kind of keep me calm. Well, at this point, they had called for a life flight to come pick up baby, to take baby to Bismarck, because that was the NICU, like, where they had the closest NICU. And they had told me at this point, they're like, we think it's a boy. And I'm like, oh, you know, that's what we've been hoping for, you know, whatever, whatever. Oh, we get to the hospital. Oh my hell. Just thinking back on this to tell you guys, like, I'm just like, oh my God, like, this happened. But anyways, we get to the hospital. They wheel me in the bed. They didn't make me walk. They didn't ask me to walk. They actually wheeled me in like they were supposed to out of the house. But, you know, we don't do that. And in Watford, where we lived, they didn't have one set ER doctor. They were traveling ER doctors. So you never had the same doctor. Well, this one had, because Watford had no labor and delivery section. They didn't deal with, like, pregnancy, anything like that. Like, one day I went there because I was so dehydrated to get fluids. They turned me away and told me I had to drive to Williston to get fluids. So Braxton had to drive me to Williston to get fluid. And that's when I found out I had bronchitis and everything else. But that was before all this happened. I think I was about 10 weeks when all that happened. But anyways, so they're wheeling me in and the doctor's like, okay, we have a doctor from the Bismarck Hospital on the screen. We're gonna check baby first. I'm like, go right ahead. Like, you know, I'm fine. I'm sitting here. We're good. So me and Braxton are standing, or Braxton's standing next to me. And because the EMTs thought I was 24 weeks along, the doctor, when they got the notice that we were on our way, also thought that baby was 24 weeks. So they uncovered her and pretty much saw how small she was, and he put like the stethoscope up and was like, I don't have a heartbeat, like, she passed away, I'm sorry. Wrapped her back up and handed her to Braxton and said, okay, we need you to go in the hall, we need to work on mom now. So the really nice EMT lady, the older one, that's how I'm gonna explain them. So the older one, who was really helpful for me, took Braxton out into the hallway, got him a chair, you know, and the nurses and everything were so sweet with him. They went and, I don't know why, but for not being, like, having OB stuff, they found a hat, they found a blanket, and a footprint kit. So they were out there doing feet prints, they weighed her and everything, like you would a normal child, like when they were born, full term. And they had found out that she was actually a girl, not a boy. And this is where, for me, like, you know, they were out there taking care of Braxton and being really good, like, helping him. They got the mortuary called, everything. And this is where everything went crazy for me. I had two nurses that didn't know what the shit they were doing, both trying to shove IVs in each arm. And I'm looking at them, I'm like, why do I need two? They're like, well, you never know. I said, I have never had two IVs. Like, what do I need two for? Most of the time you can use one and do everything you need to do, but whatever. I'm not a nurse. I'm not the doctor. Do you? So they're putting two IVs, like one in each arm, right at the elbow. And then he goes, okay, the same OB doctor that was on there, you know, to check out baby, he goes, we're going to have her, you know, walk me through stuff. And I'm like, okay. So they're trying to see if my placenta is going to deliver, because at this point it still hadn't delivered. He does his thing, what she's telling him to do, whatnot. And they're like, okay, we need to let it sit for a minute, you know, see. Sometimes they don't deliver right away, especially when you're not ready to deliver. They're still attached really strong. And they're like, okay. And he goes, okay, we're going to let you sit here for about 15 to 20 minutes. I'm like, okay, cool. Then the room goes empty. I'm sitting in this room, like the TV shuts off, everybody leaves, and I'm sitting there by myself. And I'm like, what the fuck? Like, where'd everybody go? Well, then that really nice older EMT lady comes in and she's like, what do you need? And I said, Braxton and my baby. And she goes, they're just sitting in the hall. And I said, why can't they sit in here with me? And she goes, I'll bring them in. So they bring Braxton in. The doctor comes in a little bit later, tries to, you know, deliver again, and still can't get the placenta to deliver. So he goes, I'm just filling out paperwork because we calculate she lived for so long. We have to do a birth certificate and a death certificate for her. Because by the time I delivered her, the ambulance got there and she got to the hospital and he technically pronounced her passed away, it was an hour and 30 minutes between all of that. So they had to, the state of Utah, do a death certificate and a birth certificate. So they're like, well, do you have names? And I looked at the doctor and I said, I didn't even know I was having a girl. Like, we haven't discussed that because we were kind of waiting until we were supposed to find out Monday what we were having. And he goes, oh, no problem. Like, Braxton's like, can we have time to talk about it? And so I just looked at Braxton and I said, have you thought of any names? And he goes, no, not really. Like, you know, I was waiting to talk to you. And so I just kind of told him the ones that I liked. And we had talked when I found out I was pregnant. We wanted to kind of keep the P part going. So I had liked Paige. But then, like, kind of right before this happened, the name Braylee popped into my head. I really wanted Paisley. Peyton was supposed to be a Paisley, but somebody else named their child Paisley. And I just wasn't, me and the dad didn't agree on Paisley as much. And then that person's like, oh, I'm naming my child Paisley. And I'm like, okay, well, that's too close. We can't. And then my roommate kept talking how they wanted to name their daughter Paisley. And I'm like, well, there goes me having my Paisley, right? So I had told Braxton I kind of mushed our names together one day and got Braylee. And he goes, I like that. And I said, what about, you know, Paige Braylee or Braylee Paige? He goes, I like Braylee Paige better. And I was like, okay, so we named her Braylee Paige Taylor. Well, I'll get into that in a minute of what her name means and why, like, how I found out. Anyways, so we're sitting there. My doctor comes back in, says we have to transfer you back to Dickinson. Your placenta's not delivering and you've been here, you know, 2.5 hours now. So we got to get you up there because if it doesn't deliver in a certain amount of time, you know, you can get an infection plus the freaking shoestring and everything that's still tied to me. They did not red flag that. Like, they did not think anything of it. So he goes, we're going to get ready to transfer you up to, Dickinson. And I'm like, okay. Well, I look at Braxton because we left Peyton at home with our, like, we texted our roommates. They knew what was going on and stuff. Like, they didn't know I delivered, but they knew that I was in active labor. So we had just texted them and said, hey, Peyton's in her bed asleep. Can you just listen for her? You know, I'm at the hospital. And so Braxton, I just told him, you need to go home, you know, get Peyton. Kelsey knew what was going on, the friend who was taking care of Peyton as I was at the hospital for that whole week that was helping Braxton, you know, pick her up and drop her off at daycare and whatnot, because he left work way earlier than they were open. So he goes, or the cop drives him, or hold on, let me back up. They come in and say, hey, you know, we're getting ready. The ambulance never left. They stayed there. The EMTs, she stayed there the whole time, which I found really relieving in a way because she was so helpful and so, like, everything's going to be okay, even though we're not in the best situation. Like, it's going to be okay type of attitude about it, and which I loved. But the mortuary came to pick up Braylee. And me and Braxton had said, since we didn't have family in Utah, we didn't want to have any funeral. We just wanted to bury her at home. Well, the mortician took that the wrong way. Thought we wanted cremation, which I did not want. Like, anyways, I'm not going to go into all detail on that. So we hand baby over to the mortuary. Braxton's, driven home by the cop. And I am now being transported to the hospital. they didn't clean anything up in our bathroom. And so when Braxton got home, like, it kind of shock started to wear off and it was like reality was hitting. And so he had just like texted me and was like, hey, like, can I call you? So we, you know, we were talking on the phone, you know, like he was worried about me going and not having anybody with me. So we talk until I run out of service and then I get to the hospital. The nurse who discharged me was like working. And when I left, I said, I'm not going to see you until 24 weeks. Well, they're wheeling me in and she starts crying and I start crying and I'm like, it's fine. Like, we're going to get through this. Well, they had a different doctor working, which I had never seen this doctor. I've never talked to this doctor, like nothing with her. So I didn't feel too comfortable with her, but she comes in with these, not tweezers, but oh, I can't even think of what they look like. Anyways, she goes in to try to pull the placenta out and it's just coming out in pieces. She goes, okay, we're gonna let you sit here longer. And I said, I've sat in for, let's see, I was at Watford for 2.5 hours, an hour and a half drive, plus when I delivered. So I was pretty much almost a 6 hours, right? And I'm just like, okay, well, I've sat like this long. And she goes, okay, let's give it a little bit longer. If not, we have to go in and do a DNC. I'm like, okay. So I'm keeping Braxton up to date. And I finally just called him and he goes, you know, Kelsey's not answering. I said, Braxton, pack paint in a bag. Just throw some clothes in a bag. Like, they are talking that I have to go into surgery and I've never went on like under before. And I don't want to be by myself. Like, you need to start like making your way here. I said, drive to Kelsey's house. And, just knock on her door. Like, she will know when you're there that, you know, something happened. You don't even have to tell her what happened. She'll know, or she'll call me. You just need to get your way, like, your ass here. So he, drives to Kelsey's house. He drops Peyton off there, you know, just tells her, you know, Destin the baby, I've got to go. I've got to get to Dickinson. Well, at this point, by the time he got Peyton up, got her clothes and they got in the car and left, they had come in and told me that they were going to take me to surgery in an hour. And I, Braxton, for one, had an hour and a half drive plus dropping Peyton off. So I called Braxton. I said, you have an hour to be here. And he goes, I'm on my way, I promise. He goes, you know, I'm hoping I don't get pulled over. And I said, if you do, give them the situation and have them escort you. Like, this is one of those times that you can, like, tell the cops what's going on and they'll probably escort you at this point. Because I've had people do that before. So he walks in as they're getting ready to wheel me out. So I hand him, like, my clothes, my phone. My clothes got left at the Watford Hospital and I never got them back. I went to go get them and they told me they threw them away. Mind you, they were brand new Under Armour sweats, so I was a little pissed off, but handed him, I had to take out my piercings, my phone, and I do think I still had a shirt on. I had some kind of clothing, so I handed him that, but I remembered I didn't have my pants or underwear or socks because I never went with socks. And he's walking down the hall with us and the girl goes, okay, you need to wait in this waiting room. Okay, you guys need to keep this waiting room in mind, okay? You need to wait in this waiting room. If anything happens, we will come here and tell you or talk to you. Braxton's like, okay. It is Sunday. At a hospital. They don't book surgeries on Sundays, right? So they tell us it's going to be an hour and a half to 2 hours at the max that this, like, from going in, recovery, everything. I should be back in my room at 2 hours, no more. So Braxton has, you know, my phone, his phone. At this point, when I was in Watford, my stepmom, she's intuitive, had texted me and said, Des, something's wrong. And I just said, yeah, I had baby. My dad's out deer hunting. So she had said, okay, I'll let dad know and have him call as soon as he can. She texted me at like 4 o'clock in the morning. And then on the way to Dickinson, Braxton had called and let his parents know what was going on, just so people knew. Because they all knew my water broke, they all knew I was in the hospital, whatnot, but we just wanted people to know before it started getting out there. So I go back into surgery, you know, kind of freaking out, never had surgery before. And mind you, these freaking OR nurses are being bitches. Like, I told you my language is going to be bad, it's going to be bad the rest of the time. They're flat out being bitches. Because they had to come in and work on a Sunday. And I'm looking at them, for one, that's your job. You're getting paid big bucks for this. And for two, it's a Sunday. You're probably getting paid an incentive for it being a Sunday. So why the hell are you bitching? Like, I didn't get it, but whatever. So anyways, they have you count down. I fell asleep. Whatnot. Though when I came to, I remember I was trying to itch my nose. But, like, I kept getting stuck on something. So when I finally woke up, I realized I had an IV, like, in my hand, right in my thumb. And it had wrapped up and they had it taped to my arm. Well, let me backtrack here. When I first got to the Dickinson Hospital, my nurses looked at me and was like, "Why do you have two IVs?" I said, "I don't know." I asked the same question. They're like, "Well, let's remove one. You don't..." Like, I wasn't even hooked up to IV bags, okay? I just had two freaking IVs in my arms. So they're like, "Okay, well, let's remove the one and we're going to hook you up to an IV. And I'm like, "Okay, you know, great." And then my doctor was questioning the shoestrings. And I said, yeah, they didn't have an OB kit. They asked, you know, Braxton for his shoelace and for my kitchen scissors. And she goes, we need antibiotics in her right now. Like, nobody else at the last hospital, like, cared that I had a shoelace and kitchen scissors. Like, it was fine. No big deal. So they hurried and was pumping me with antibiotics through my IV so they would hit my system faster so I didn't get an infection. Started my IV for surgery and everything's at this point we already knew. So now, okay, we're going to jump back into surgery part. So I wake up, like, I'm coming to and I'm trying to itch my nose and I keep catching, and she goes, you're going to rip that out and we can't have you ripping that out. And she goes, "I don't know why you keep complaining. I've given you enough pain medicine to kill a horse." And I just kind of looked at him like, "What are you talking about?" And she goes, "You keep telling me your pain level's a 10. And I'm like, "I don't remember you asking me." Like, I was like, "I don't know what you're talking about." And she goes, "Well, we need to know because it's time to get you to your room." And I'm like, "Then take me," like, whatever. So we are walking down the hallway. And I remember seeing Braxton standing in the doorway of the waiting room. Now, this is where I told you to have the waiting room. Like, there's a reason I told you that. He's standing there. His face is white. And he goes, "What the fuck happened?" And I'm like, "Wait, what?" And the nurse goes, "Your doctor's gonna come in and talk to you." And Braxton's like, "No, I want answers now." And the nurse just kept saying, "The doctor's gonna come in and talk to you both." Like... And I didn't know that anything had happened at this point. Like, they didn't say anything to me. Obviously, they didn't say anything to Braxton. And he was, like, really mad. Well, he handed me, like, I asked him for my phone or he handed it to me, one of the two. And he goes, "You're gonna have a lot of text messages, but I couldn't answer them." I was like, "What do you mean?" And he goes, "They called a code blue to the OR. I was like, "Well, code blue means someone, like, pretty much dies, like, you know." And he goes, "I know, but they called it to the OR and you were the only one back there." Well, I grab my phone, like, I look at my phone and I have all these messages from my dad and my stepmom, like, what's going on and all this. And Braxton, like, of course didn't have the answers. He had, you know, updated and said, "I don't have answers yet," but they, like, kept coming in. Well, I had found out that this 2 hours had turned into 4 hours, and I had also found out that nobody went and talked to Braxton. This was what they said, is, "We came to talk to you, but you were not here." And Braxton's response back was, "I didn't leave this room." He goes, "I had to go to the bathroom. I needed a drink. I needed this. I needed to do that. But I did not leave this room because you guys told me if you needed me to come, you would come here. And nobody came because I've been standing in this doorway waiting when I heard that code blue." And nobody went and talked to him. Nobody went and told him what was going on. Nobody anything. Well, we had found out together, when the doctor finally came in, that I had lost so much blood that I coded on the table. They had to give me 2 units of blood, and they said they had to call in a second doctor to help with the surgery, but they almost had to give me a hysterectomy to stop the bleeding. But that, the doctor who sent me home actually had to come in and assist, and he got me to stop bleeding. He got it to stop. Well, you know, that night they kept telling me, you know, you're going to start feeling better. You're going to start feeling yourself again. And I just wasn't. Like, I would have to get up to go to the bathroom, but it would take Braxton and my nurse on each side of me walking me to the bathroom because I, like, felt so lightheaded, and they just kept telling me that I lost so much blood. Like, you know, it was going to be fine. Well, they wanted my blood levels checked every 2 hours. And I kid you not, like, even Braxton made the comment, is you look like a meth addict. Like, I had bruises and I had needle marks up and down all of my arms because, for one, I don't have enough blood for them to draw. Two, I'm starting to be dehydrated because of all this. So they came in and kept poking me, and I finally asked the last person, I said, can you, like, you know, you have to come back every 2 hours. Can you just leave a needle in me? Like, I don't care at this point. So they call it a butterfly needle, I guess. They actually ended up just leaving it in because she agreed that they were starting to not be able to find any veins to poke. And me being the sarcastic, bitchy ass I am, I just said, okay, if I am losing or lost so much blood, why do you guys keep coming and taking more every 2 hours? Like, I'm not understanding this. Like, obviously you guys can tell I'm not getting better or feeling better. Why do you keep coming and taking more? Well, the night goes on, they keep coming in. The doctor comes back in and says, you know, we need to give you more blood. Backtrack, I didn't give you the whole mortuary story. So the mortician had started prepping Braylee for cremation. And they had, I think, called Braxton. And he kind of was like, no, that's not what we want. And he goes, you know, babe, I think you need to talk to him. So I got on the phone. And they had told me right before I went into surgery that we had to be back in Watford at the mortician's service place at 1 p.m. to be able to discuss what was going to happen and, like, how to get her back to Utah and all that. Well, mind you, it's Monday morning. I had stayed in the hospital Sunday night because I had surgery, lost blood. I wasn't coming back to myself. So Monday morning they come in, tell me I need more blood. And I looked at them and I said, you have 3 hours to give me blood. And they're like, well, normally it takes about 6. I said, you don't have 6 hours. I said, you have 3 hours to get me blood, get me out of here so I can go to Walmart and either look for an outfit or a blanket, because we had not bought her anything and I wanted her wrapped in something we had bought. I knew we weren't going to find clothes small enough, but I was damn sure going to look. And I had Braxton bring me clothes when he came, like, because he went home, obviously. I told him I needed clothes because they didn't bring mine. And so I'm walking around Walmart in hospital slippers. And, because I didn't have shoes, Braxton forgot shoes, so they gave me those hospital slippers. I was walking around in those, the hospital under the, where they give you after you have a baby, and a hoodie, no bra, no tank top, nothing. And I'm like, this is great, but we did it, we were doing great, it was fine. My arm, because where they had to put my blood in, they never took that IV out, they left that one in just in case we had to do more blood. It was right in my thumb vein, and because of how fast they turned the machine up to give me my blood, a 6-hour blood transfusion in a 3-hour period of time, my hand bruised, like, so bad. But again, I consented to it because I told them they did not have the time, or I would, you know, have to just go somewhere else because I needed to get back. Like, I was not missing this appointment. So anyways, we, you know, got back to Watford. I had Braxton take me home so I could get, you know, some clothes on and kind of shower up before we went. I still wasn't feeling the greatest, but I could actually walk on my own at this point. You know, it was fine. We go to the mortuary, talked about them, get everything situated. You know, they ended up finding, like, realizing we didn't want her cremated. They found a small baby casket to put her in, and we filled out all the paperwork to fly her home. The most expensive thing we had to pay for was the plane ticket. I don't know if anybody listening has ever had a family member pass away not in the state that you're wanting to bury them in, but there is a ton of paperwork, and the reasoning it's so expensive is the liabilities that the airlines and all of the people handling the caskets have to, you know, deal with, and the plane stuff and everything. Like, it's a lot. I was talking to Braxton's family Sunday about it on Mother's Day. You know, it kind of got brought up and we were talking about it, and we didn't sign the paperwork then because they had to wait for all the flight information and everything. Like, we just talked about, like, you know, we wanted her to fly home. This was the mortuary that was going to pick her up. Like, we had to get all that stuff lined out first, and then we would sign paperwork. Well, at this point, Braxton had now missed another day of work for staying at the hospital with me. His boss was really understanding. It's Braxton's work ethic that he's like, you know, I have to be at work type of thing. And if he sits home in his feelings, like, it's way worse. So I would have, you know, rather him been at work as myself. And given the situation, like, I just, people are more comfortable around bodies than others. So I had asked him if he wanted to go to the mortuary with me to sign paperwork. You know, he said, no, I already went to the mortuary. You know, we pretty much saw her, said our goodbyes, whatnot. He goes, you just handle it. Take my credit card and handle it. And I was like, okay. So I actually had a friend go with me because I wanted, you know, pictures of me not looking like I was on my deathbed holding her, and with the stuff that we had bought in. Because I had taken Peyton to the store and I let her pick out a couple of stuffed animals to put into her casket. And then I had bought in, like, necklaces that said, like, mommy's little girl, daddy's little girl, and then baby sister. And so I wanted to take all that to put it in the casket. And I kid you not, I signed 20 documents just for the airplane tickets, like, nothing else. That was just all the airplane documents. So we fly her home. Braxton's uncle actually is a mortician, and he actually is the one that picked her up and had her. Well, because it's now October, well, almost November, the ground is too hard and it had just snowed really bad in Utah. So they kept saying that, you know, they were going to hold off. Well, me and Braxton had drove down because Braxton was going on a deer hunt that I actually wasn't going to come home for. You know, it was just going to be Braxton, but given the situation, and everything, he goes, either you're going or I'm not going. Like, and I just told him, I said, I don't want to be around anybody. Like, he goes, you're not. You're going up in the mountain with me. Like, I've worked it out. Peyton's going to stay with my mom and your dad. Like, they're going to split time. They're going to handle all that. Like, we don't have to deal with anything. All we have to do is go down and pick out the headstone for Braylee. And, like, my parents had got us the lot and everything for her. So, if you're in Brigham City, just FYI, in Brigham City, if you're a resident, and you lose a baby, they have a section called Baby Land, and they give you lots for free, because I was part of the Brigham City resident, my driver's license said that, we were able to get her the lot up there, which was nice, but we had to go pick out a headstone, so we had drove down from North Dakota, made it in the next morning. You know, we dropped Peyton off with my parents, went to Botts Memorial, you know, picked out the headstone, what we wanted on it, stuff like that. And this is where it comes in of how I found out the meaning behind her name. So for one, you don't really know what to put on your headstone for your baby that had just passed. Cause I mean, you didn't know their personality. I mean, I kept thinking of Gushers and Reese's because those are two things that I ate with her, like, that I craved and had to have, like, on stock. And Dr. Pepper, that's probably where my Dr. Pepper addiction came from. Because every morning, I had to stop at the gas station and get a Slim Jim and a slushy Dr. Pepper. That's kind of how I knew I was pregnant. But anyways, and I just was like, that's not stuff you put on a headstone. So I started Googling her name, and her name means one of strength, angel of light. That's what Braylee means. And I had never once looked up the spelling of the name, looked up the meaning of her name until this day. When we were at the hospital, me and Braxton had just decided the way we wanted it spelled. We didn't like look anything up. And it was so crazy because this was like a week and a half after I had had her that I actually like Googled her name and the meaning of her name. Anyways, we're getting a little bit long here, but I just wanted to get it out in the rest of this podcast. So we're in Utah. I think we were down here for 5 days and the weather just was not giving us a chance to be able to place her. Well, we leave on Sunday night. We were going to drive all night to get back so Braxton could go back to work Monday. And Braxton's uncle had called. We were already to Bozeman, which is 6 hours, had called and said, hey, we're doing services tomorrow morning. And Braxton's like, okay, we're already to Bozeman. Like, you know, we're just not going to make it. And I'm sitting here thinking to myself, I don't want my baby to be buried by herself. I want someone to dedicate her grave. So I just asked Braxton, I said, are you fine with my parents being there, you know, and you can invite your parents? He goes, that's fine. So our parents, it was just the four of them, went up. My dad dedicated the grave. My stepmom recorded it. I still, to this day, have the recording, and I've only watched it once when she sent it to me, and I've never watched it again. Bringing that up, I might actually go and find the recording tonight and listen to it, but they took some pictures of, like, you know, her casket and everything. It was really cute, like, the way they did it, and they just, you know, tried to make it as much of a service without, because we didn't want to have, like, a line or anything. Like, we just didn't want to do any of that. So they placed her, and then we had come down, and they had her headstone, like, that's a whole nother day story. The whole headstone thing, that took longer than it needed. They kept messing up. They kept spelling Peyton's name wrong. They kept, like, every time we would fix one thing, they had everything else right, but then they would go and screw that up. So, like, it took so long for them to, like, get everything right. But finally got it done. Her headstone's up. It's beautiful. It was funny because when we went to pick out the headstone color, me and Braxton, like, we started at different ends of, like, the color coding, or I don't even know how to explain it. We started at different ends and was walking towards each other, and we both stopped, like, at the same color, but they were on different walls of each other, and I was like, hey, I like this one, and he goes, I do too, and I said, what's the name? And he read it to me, and I was like, well, that's mine too. So it was just funny, we both liked the same one, but we weren't, like, even by each other when we picked it out. And so it was just, there's some things that I wish bots would have done. Like, I wanted a heart-shaped headstone, and they told me they couldn't do it, but I had seen one at the cemetery already, so I was like, why can't you do it? Like, I was kind of annoyed. And then I told them I wanted a vase, and they told me they couldn't do that, but they could put, like, this tin cup, and I'm like, why can't you put a vase? Like, it makes no sense. Again, saw other babies with them, but whatever. It's done. It's over with. We're, you know, we got flowers up there. It's great. We go and visit it. But that is my pregnancy story with Braylee. There's way more detail of the aftermath and, you know, things that I've struggled with and still struggle with. I'll probably record something else, but this has been a pretty long one. So I'm going to end it here. I do apologize. It took me way longer than it should have to get the rest of this out, and I kind of left it on a cliffhanger. But like I said, it's gotten crazy. A lot of stuff has happened over the last couple of weeks. Things being said from other people, and I just didn't know if I wanted to finish. But tonight I cleaned my office and I was sitting here and I grabbed my iPad and started recording, so I guess I wanted to finish. I don't know. It's taken a lot for me not to cry, not to want to just stop in the middle of this and say, I don't want you guys to know. So just know me talking about this, because I really don't openly and freely share this. I feel like I recorded this because someone needs to hear it. Like, that's what I keep feeling. So I love you all. Thank you for all supporting me, listening to this. I'm going to come back with more. I'm just not going to set dates because I'm going to kind of just start recording for when I feel like recording, kind of like tonight, and not set myself on a schedule and not be like, I have to record, because I don't want it to be a job. I don't want it to be a chore. I kind of just want to share stuff when I'm feeling drawn to share it. The reason I say that is I've been doing a lot of self work, and part of that is doing Reiki, and we discussed today that I have gifts that have been closed off and I haven't been open to, that we are gonna be opening. So some of my crazy things that's been happening, there's a reasoning to it, and I'm learning how to express it and how to share it with others. But if you follow my Instagram page, you probably already know that and know I'm doing tarot cards and all that, but I'm gonna stop rambling. Thank you all for listening. Have a great evening, great day, great afternoon, whenever you're listening to this. Love you all.